K-State and Iowa State tonight, 8 o'clock. You can catch pregame starting at 7 here on K-Man. John, Tyler, and Mitch here with you for another 15 minutes or so. Mitch has Jabroni of the Week, which was aided by me. I will put that out there. I had to give him a little helping hand. College basketball last night, just before we squeeze in something about Tennessee here that's made the news, who K-State will play on Saturday in Knoxville. One, I always, when I see wins like NC State going and winning at Duke for the first time since 1995.
That was a good game.
Yeah, great game. Cool finish. Great dunk at the end there for emphasis. Like, I can't imagine how much you'd be losing your mind if you're an NC State fan there. But NC State's in a similar position to K-State, I feel like, except just even worse. Because they've got Carolina and Duke in the same state and play second fiddle and the state school and yada, yada, yada. To go win a game like that at Duke, I always feel like a sense of, hey, that's really cool because how often do we get to win an Allen Fieldhouse and what does that feel like? I mean, it brought me a sense of like, man, I feel good for NC State after that. That's cool for that fan base.
And it's not exactly a stretch to be rooting against Duke in any situation at all.
Oh, God, yeah, and Grayson Allen. I mean, boy. I tell you what, he suckered me in, man. Just watching him, he ruffles my feathers. Ruffles my feathers, so I'm glad to
is
see
he a honky?
I will admit. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Punk seems more like it for Grayson Allen, but you know what? I also like I don't know his whole story, so I'm not going to totally judge him for that. It's just game after game it seems like there is something. And he is also a good player from Duke, and that certainly adds to it. You know, I mean, we could have that debate all day. Why is Deflategate such a big deal? Because the Patriots win. Da-da-da-da-da. Why is Grayson Allen's stuff such a big deal? Because Duke wins all the time, and he's the star player for Duke. The other thing was Oklahoma and Texas, as much as we made fun of it, Mitch in Game Sports Update after Game Sports Update, me during Wildcat Insider, like, we made fun of Oklahoma-Texas the entire night.
Oh, you did?
The entire show. And Oklahoma and Texas went out and actually played a terrific game that Texas somehow they had a big lead, gave it up, and then somehow stormed back to win late on an Andrew Jones three-pointer. I mean, Oklahoma is still continuing to play well, but now they're the team that's having trouble closing games. I mean, that's a pretty inconsequential game in the end, but you want some entertainment value, and we did actually get entertainment value out of Oklahoma and Texas.
Yeah, I guess ESPN has that going for him because there were a lot of people last night that said that, well, this is a situation where they need to have a flex option for Big Monday so that you don't subject the entire country to Oklahoma and Texas. The one thing that stood out for me, though, watching that game, Oklahoma finished that ball game with 3 assists. 3. And Texas almost lost to a team that had 3 assists. I mean, that was not pretty from either side.
I guess the only thing I got on an explanation for that is that they're really young. I mean, it's like Jordan Woodard and a lot of kids. So that would lend itself to more selfish play. I mean, there's not the chemistry that they had there with the guys that have played 100-plus games together last year.
Jordan Woodard tied for the team high in assists last night with 1. Mm. I mean, just think about that. That's just amazing.
That is crazy. And they scored, I mean, what was the final? Wasn't it in the 80s?
Yeah, it was like 82 to 81 or something like that, I think.
Also probably an indictment on Texas's defense that one-on-one play was able to beat them that much. That's a good telling stat of that whole game, that one, Oklahoma was competitive with that, and two, that like Texas's defense was bad enough to give up 80-plus points when the other team can't move the ball well enough to pick up assists. So there's actually a decent amount to dig your teeth into there. Congratulations to Texas and Oklahoma for that. Here's this from the college basketball world. And I saw this making the rounds on Twitter yesterday. And really, the biggest reason this raised an eyebrow for me is because it's Tennessee basketball, which, like, on the surface, outside of the fact that Rick Barnes is their coach, Tennessee is about the most boring basketball program in the country to me. I mean, it just doesn't do much at all. Tennessee men's basketball, that is. Doesn't do much at all for me in terms of being excited about the game. I guess it'll be interesting seeing Rick Barnes there and an old Big 12 rival. You could really work to try and drum up that storyline. But Tennessee, I would imagine...
It is a top 100 win.
Oh, yeah. No, look, their resume is better than you think. They played a brutal schedule, and so that's part of why they have a lot of losses. They're an okay team at a football school in a football conference that no one pays much attention to. I think Tennessee feels that way, too, because they have... found themselves generating some headlines here based on something they did that's clearly trying to troll and invoke a reaction here. And this is where I'm going to draw a line here and say the following information that I read you is going to be strictly like I am reading off a TV screen. This in no way came from my head. This is the sporting news. This is on Twitter. I had nothing to do with this. I'm going to read you a note from Tennessee's game notes. So the game notes, like a packet that you would get, I look at them for Powercat game day. It's usually just notes about what the team's done, who's playing well, some notes on the coaches, the series history, packet of notes. So in their packet of notes, they snuck in this note. The heading in the Tennessee basketball notes, and I should have looked at who they're playing. I assume they have a conference game this week.
For sure it's Kentucky.
Okay, yeah, you're right. It is Kentucky. So in the game notes for Tennessee-Kentucky, this is one little section. The header of the section. Again, just me reading here. The header of the section says, alternative facts. The first bullet point says, if you aren't familiar with the term alternative facts, it is suggested that you Google it before you place much stock in this note. Then the next bullet point says, during the 1966-67 season, legendary Vols head coach Ray Mears started using the stopwatch feature on his iPhone, powered, of course, by Verizon, to time Tennessee's offensive possessions during games. When assistant coach Stu Aberdeen inquired about Mears' groundbreaking use of technology, Mears responded, I call it my shot clock. The next note says, Vols forward Kyle Alexander, who had never even heard of the sport of basketball until his senior year of high school, when he watched the 1985 hit film Teen Wolf while missing a day of classes due to chickenpox, has a 144-inch wingspan. The final bullet point under the heading of alternative facts says, when Allen Houston enrolled in UT at 1989, he had only 1,100 followers on Twitter. But on senior day in 1993, his follower count had increased to more than 190,000. Vol Twitter, stay woke.
I did not see that. That whole thing.
Presented without comment, Jabroni of the Week is next. You're listening to The Game.